God's word teaches us about Him is that He is an abundant God. Amen. He is a more than enough God. So it's not even just in the area of giving, you know, when the word of God is shared to us, because God's word points to us important keys or principles wherein God's heart would tell us that He wants to bless you and me. So it's not just when we drop our envelope, whatever amount that the Lord would impress in our hearts to give, it's likened to what, you know, our brother Roel said, it's like you and I are just planting seeds. And the more you and I plant seeds, the greater would be the harvest. Example, that tomato. Can you imagine? I love that illustration that, you know, just one seed that will be planted and would bear many tomatoes. See, it's a principle. It's a picture that God is giving you and me. And so even before we study the Word of God today, please hear me. God doesn't want this time to be wasted. He wants you to bring home something. God is going to plant His Word. And the Bible describes the Word of God likened to a seed. When you and I open up our hearts to His Word and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and we receive it, there is this attitude of the heart receiving Him, because Jesus is the Word of God. We're receiving Jesus through His Word. It's planted in our hearts. So then when you and I go home, you know what the Spirit of God does? He waters that. He waters that. And that seed begins to grow and grow. And then it matures, and now it's going to bear much fruit. And we're seeing that in the lives of so many here, and I'm so blessed. Before we go to the study of the Word, can I just say this at the onset? Personally, I thank every one of you that you are a part of this ministry. You and I are in God's vineyard. The church is like, He's saying that this is His vineyard. How most of you have grown up spiritually, and it's like, wow, and we're beginning to see fruit in your lives. See, because the Word of God never returns to Him empty nor void. And so claim that in your life as you open up your heart to the Word of God and see how God would bless you and how God would use your life to be a blessing to many. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so after the communion and after the service, we would like as a church to recognize those who are already involved in the ministry, and this is our way of honoring God as we honor you in the many labor of love and sacrifices, whether not just financially, but even in your time in serving God as you serve others. Amen. And so we're going to do that for those involved in the ministry. We did that last Sunday for the praise and worship team, but we're going to honor the rest involved in the ministry. Amen. So if you're ready to receive the Word of God, how many are ready to receive the Word of God? Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you are able to rise up to honor Jesus as the Word of God, and let's turn our Bibles in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to read the entire chapter. It's just a very short chapter. In fact, you and I can read the entire book. Within less than an hour, you'll be done reading that book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Okay, as we read, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that He has done what? He has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. I'm reading from the NIV. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son, capital S, that's Jesus, the Son of God. He's the Son of God. And to wait for Jesus from where? From heaven. So heaven is a real place. From heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have blessed us with this time, all of us gathered together, Lord, to hear your word. And we thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to give us understanding and enlightenment from the word of God, which is life to all of us. And we pray that, Lord, by your grace, help us to apply these truths in our lives, for your word is life to all of us. Bless everyone that hears your word and help us to obey you, Lord God, and live your word in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, if someone asks you a question, like on this Sunday, what are your plans for Sunday? You don't have to answer that aloud. What are your plans for Sunday? Or where are you going? Did someone raise that question to you? Where are you going? And what was your reply? What will be your reply? Some would say, I'm going to church, right? That's a very common answer by a lot of people. I'm going to church. So it sounds like church is a place or church is a building. But from the many, many studies we have done over all these years, it has been taught that the church is not a building, but the church is we, God's people. Who are those we? Those called by God and those whom he chose. And the word church comes from that Greek word that means kaleo, or called out, C-A-L-L-E-D. We were called out of darkness into his marvelous and wonderful light. So for anyone who made that conscious, can I say this, conscious decision to commit their lives to Christ, you know, something happened that it probably to most of us, it's a mystery. What happens when I say that prayer and then I accept Christ to be my Savior and I receive his finished work at the cross? That's God's salvation. And you know what? That's the greatest miracle that can happen to anyone's life. Miracles are not just limited to the healing. And of course, that's part. But do you know that there is something that is so powerful through the work of the Spirit of God and the Word of God combination? It's a powerful combination. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That when you and I hear the Word of God, and he gives us understanding, and he helps us make that decision. So, meaning to say, someone might have just invited you to go to church, to come to worship service, and then you sit there, and then you hear God's word, and something happens in your mind and in your heart that's not visible to anyone's eyes. There's something that's going on deep down in the recesses of that heart, that when you open up that heart to the person of our Lord Jesus, something happens that cannot be, at times words cannot, probably we might be out of words to describe what's happening in the heart of that person, because there's power in the Word of God that is compared to an incorruptible seed that is able to bring about what the Bible calls a spiritual rebirth. To be born again, you know, we were singing that song. let me grab the... It's one of the songs that we would always sing. I will never be the same because you came here, or you came in from the everlasting to the world we live. And Jesus, you lived, you died, you rose again on high, and you, Jesus, you opened the way for the world to live again. Powerful. It's a familiar song, but it has a powerful meaning that when we open up our hearts to Jesus and he teaches us how to live this life here on earth, and that you and I are on our way to heaven. We said that before. If God's plan is just to bring us to heaven, you know, when you and I made that decision to accept Jesus, it doesn't happen that poof, we're gone and straight away to heaven. No, we're still here, right? Yeah. Do you remember the year that you made the decision to accept Christ? How many of you remember? I do remember that. I was in my mid-20s, and, you know, my life was never the same. From being depressed and angry towards God, but life changed for me. I was raised up in a religious background, but I didn't have that intimate relationship with the Lord. I would just go to church, but, you know, I would, like, be doing this. I felt that he was distant. But when someone used by the Lord, anointed by God, shared to me the gospel, and I'll share that later on, how the power of the gospel, the message of the gospel of Christ is so powerful. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it has the power to God's salvation. And you and I are blessed. Can I say this again? Consider yourself blessed when you have been given an opportunity to hear the word of God. But one thing is needed, and that is a response, whether you and I are going to receive what the message of the word of God is being given. Now, in one portion of the gospel, you don't have to turn there, in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus identified himself as the builder of a church. Builder of the church, and that he said, and that the gates of hell shall not prevail. So he is the builder of a church. You know, I work for a tile company, and you know, our company has grown. We are an importer, distributor of floor coverings. So from porcelain tiles, marble tiles, granite tiles, you name it, we have it. We have it. So we have customers who are called by the construction industry as home builders. You might hear the companies like Shea Homes. So there are companies that would buy tracts of land, and then they would build homes. Okay, and so when they purchase those tracts of land, what they're going to do, part of their way of selling homes, is they're going to build what they call a model home, So they would construct a house, finish it with everything in it, everything, all the trimmings and all. That's called as a model home. So if anyone is interested to buy a house, they're going to show that model home, and they would say, wow, I like that. So it gives people a picture, an image of what the house will be once it's built and constructed. I use that illustration because Jesus, as the church builder, has given us a picture of what his model church should be. And we see that here on 1 Thessalonians, what we read. In fact, and look at verse 7, did you notice that? In verse 7 of chapter 1, and so you became a model. Did you see that in your Bible? A model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And so, let me just, you know, part of this study, I'm so blessed to have read this book by John MacArthur, his book that says, the title is The Master's Plan. Who's the master? Who's the master builder? Jesus is. So the master's plan for the church. So the church is God's people. So if you're a Christian, God is building you up. God is building your life and mine. And corporately as a church, God is building us up. And so it's good to know, as outlined here in this text, what that model church is like. And so there are different elements, as we may call it, that makes the people in Thessalonica, the believers in Thessalonica, that God has called them his model church. Wow. Number one, that church, the number one element, it's a saved church. S-A-V-D. You know, all throughout these years in the ministry, we noticed that some people would just come to church but never know the important meaning of salvation. But this is primarily the most important element of being part of God's church. You should know and know in your heart that you are saved. Saved from what?
Sin.
Very good. Saved from sin. Because Jesus, in his own words, says that a person, a man, needs to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. The reason why, so the church in Thessalonica was an assembly. It was a gathering of born-again believers. Over all these years in the ministry, when we used to serve in the other church, we met an elderly man. I believe he was in his 70s, and he was invited to our church, but he was going to another so-called Christian church. And when we had a moment of talking to him, conversing with him, only to find out that he doesn't know if he's born again or not. So can you imagine someone going to church, a church gathering every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, and yet not being saved? Not being saved. So to some people, going to church would just be like a routine, but that's never the intent of God. God's intent is that when we assemble together, our other synonymous names for the church is assembly or body of believers. The church is when we say, what are you doing on Sunday? I'm going to worship Jesus. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to do these things, whether in our giving. Do you know that even in our giving, that's part of our worship?
Yes.
And so this is everything. The elements of a worship service contribute to one thing, and that is service. Whatever you're doing, whether you're praying for someone, you're serving God that way. Amen. And so know that that's the most important first element of the model church, being saved. From what? From sin. Why? Because sin separates us from God. The bad news for us, even before we could appreciate the good news, is what? The bad news first. All have sinned. All have sinned. I would always use this as an example. When a child is born, when were you born? Okay, remember the day you were born. Your parents, oh, cute baby. Oh, wow. But you know what? Sinful nature was passed on to us by Adam. All of us have sinned. So no matter how cute that baby is, that baby, as that baby grows up, has that sinful nature. So you would see that. When you're taking care of kids, you know, how would you say that they have that sinful nature? They don't want to share. Mine. Mine. This is mine. Right? And they would always say, no. Yeah, and who broke this? I didn't. In fact, they did, right? We already see, right? We already see the sinful nature. And so that's why when we are praying for children, we are praying that when they reach the age of reason, they would know Christ. They would know Christ. So parents, you know, God has given you a big responsibility, a big responsibility to raise up your children in the ways of the Lord. And how much our children and our young people need Christ today.
Amen.
I believe you would agree with me. We all need Christ. We all need Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So the first step is to receive Jesus as our Savior. And then when we recognize him as Lord, that would be another process in all of our lives. When we say Jesus is the Lord of my life, what does that mean? We obey what he says. And there would be like tug of war at times. We all know that. I know that. The moment we receive Christ, we're not yet mature. We're going through stages of our spiritual growth. Amen. So the number one element is what? A saved church. The second one is a surrendered church. Have you noticed there in that verse, it says, you become imitators of us and of the Lord. You know, going back to our children, do you know that children are also great imitators?
Yeah.
They are good in mimicking or copying what they see. You know, Aubrey, one time grabbed the cane of her grandma, and she was walking like her grandma walked. She a little bit bent. She copied her grandma, and so they're good imitators. And we have a family friend also has a daughter, and the grandpa has this habit of when he's standing, his hands are always like clasped, hands at the back, and the little girl would be standing beside the grandpa doing exactly the same thing, because children are good imitators. And do you know that as Christians, the Bible says, be imitators of whom?
Christ.
Of Christ. Be imitators of Christ. We should be like Jesus. And so the question is, what is Jesus like? What is he like? So as children, we are called to be imitators of Christ, because that's ultimately God's goal in the life of each one of us. Amen. To be like Jesus in the way we talk, even in the choice of words. We want to be like Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us that he's gracious with his words. What do you mean by being gracious with our words? In Colossians, it says our words should be like seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. Who are the good cooks here? Good cooks? Okay. When you're cooking and you use salt, when you season your dish, how do you do it? You don't get like, example that this is, what do you do? You just season it, like dash of salt. Sprinkle a little bit, because if it's rightfully seasoned, when someone eats the food that you cooked, they would say, can I have some more? Right? But if you like put all the salt, yeah. I don't like. Can you have some? Do you want some more? Oh, no, thank you. That's enough, right? And so when our words are seasoned with salt, you would notice that people would like to talk to you. I want to hear more about Jesus. So never like too much salt that we become too offensive, that they like, here comes the person with too much salt in their tongue, that we become offensive. Because at times we become too zealous to win others for Jesus. It's like, oh, hey, come on. And they kind of back away, and we wonder, why? What am I doing wrong? So let's ask the Holy Spirit to teach us how to say things to people that they would love to hear more about the Lord. Amen? Amen. So praise the Lord. So being imitators of Christ. So the people, the Christians in Thessalonica, they saw Jesus in the lives of three guys, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. That's why it says here, you know how we lived among you, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. Why? Because these three guys, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, imitated Jesus. So everyone, those people in that place, when they saw these three guys, they saw Jesus and they imitated them. So the question is, do others see Jesus in you and me? Praise the Lord. So let's ask the help of the Holy Spirit that Jesus be seen in us. In fact, the Bible says that you and I are what? The salt and the light of the earth. Jesus is the light of the world, but we are just reflectors of that light. So when, let's say, you know, I remember that there were so many occasions at my workplace that I thank God for that opportunity. You know, at times we don't understand when things happen the way they do. I remember there was this particular time, I think I've shared this with most of you. I used to work in payroll and human resource, and, you know, I felt good about that position because I was rubbing elbows with the owners and the big guns, the top guns in the company. I would get calls from them, hey, Monette, blah, blah. They would have payroll questions and HR questions, and I felt important because of that position. But something changed. The owner talked to me, and we have someone in another department that was diagnosed with breast cancer, and the owner asked if I can move to that department. Let me tell you, it was like a demotion. Based on the standards of career path, it's like, gosh, I've been in my mind at first, those were my thoughts. I've been doing this for this company for this long, and yet here comes, and I was demoted. I had a very teeny, tiny, tiny desk compared to the huge desk that I had when I was working in payroll and HR. So, and I was given like piles of folders, and all I did was very clerical. So at first, it's like I resented it. But see, when you and I have Christ now, we see that any change that would happen, whether career or in whatever situation, that God is still in control. Not realizing that that move will bring about God using me to minister to this coworker that was diagnosed with breast cancer. Amen. We need to see that God is in control in every season of our lives. Have you encountered some changes in your life recently? There's like a big change, could be a move, something that has brought about change. Because when we are so accustomed doing things, we get comfortable. Like wearing the same old pair of shoes, right? I know that for a fact because when I'm wearing some pair of shoes that I'm comfortable with, it's like I don't want to change it. So it's the same thing. Change can be like a challenge to us because we've been so comfortable doing the same pattern or being the same position or even in relationships when, you know, the loss of a loved one. That's a major change in anyone's life. But we know that our God, who is faithful, He will remain faithful in every change, in every season of our lives. Amen. Praise God. And so so we see here from the Word of God that the people in Thessalonica, they have become imitators of Christ. They began to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And so we see that. And so they became imitators. And so we see that there are also, so number one, they're a saved church. The second one is they are what? Surrendered church. The third one is a soul-winning church. Let's look at verses 8 to 9 of that chapter, 1 Thessalonians. At times we have to go back for us to magnify certain portions. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 8 to 9. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in these two places, in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become what? Known everywhere. Isn't that beautiful? That when they see you, they talk about your faith. Your faith has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And so here we see that the people, the believers here in this place, in Thessalonica, they had a powerful testimony. Powerful testimony. How many of you have a powerful testimony to share to others? You could use that tool to win someone to the Lord. You could tell them how your life has been changed by the Lord, by Christ. Hallelujah. And so it was twofold. They have a powerful testimony. First of all, they spread the gospel, the message of the gospel, by living God's word. you and I are called to live God's word. When we hear the principles from the Lord, from the word of God, we live it out. So we just don't just hear the words, but we what? Obey and do the words. Amen. So that's them. So they live the word of God. How many of you are familiar with this saying? Actions speak louder than words. That's right. Actions speak louder than words. And some would say that when we leave out the word of God, our lives become an open Bible to someone. Because a lot of people would say, you're reading the Bible? You know, what's in there? What's interesting about that book? And so at times that might be a struggle for someone that we are sharing Christ to. But then when you and I are living the word of God in our lives, so your life and mine becomes an open Bible to them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so let me give you an example. When the word of God teaches pray without ceasing, or that prayer is powerful and effective. So how do we apply that? Let me give you a question probably. If, let's say in your workplace, for those of you who are working, and like in my case, when I heard someone was diagnosed with breast cancer, what did I do? I was led by the Spirit of God to even encourage some of our brothers and sisters to go with me and visit her in her house. And we went there and we prayed for her. We laid hands on her and she was healed by God. And that word spread. That word spread. And so most of you know that testimony of Sister Virgie. So she was diagnosed with stomach cancer. When she heard about, a family friend heard about how God healed my coworker, said, "Oh, we know someone who also has cancer. Can you visit her?" And so it was like, wow, boom, boom, boom. And so we did. We prayed, and the Lord also healed her. She not only received the healing for her cancer, but her family came to know Christ. She's now living in Texas. She's now traveling. At one point when she visited us in the Civic Center, she brought her family with her and they told us about how they were baptized in Christ. Amen? So know that what you and I learn from here, from the Word of God, and when you and I go out, when we go back to our homes, when we go back to our workplaces, even for our children, our young people, when you go back to school, God can use you. God can use you. And so let us allow the Spirit of God to work in all of our lives. Amen. So they had a powerful testimony. They spread the word, the message of the gospel. How? By living out the word of God. The second thing was through verbal witnessing. Look at what the word of God says. Verse 8. For from you, the Lord's message rang out. In another version it says, from you sounded out the word of the Lord in every place. Sounded out. When you and I would see the origin of those words, you know what? We get the word echo. How do you produce an echo? How many of you would stand in a high place and you would say, hello? And there was and it would just repeat, hello, 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 right? What if you say, you're ugly? You're ugly. No, it would come back. No, no, I look good. I look good. So an echo only repeats the word originally spoken. Okay, like a parrot. Okay. So what we learn here is God is going to use us as his voice. So what do we echo out? His words. We don't to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to make our own words. We just echo out the words of God, which is the truth. You know why that's important? Because in this culture that you and I are living in, a lot of people whom they would say that they're Christians, they're changing the message of the gospel. Do you know that some now, they don't believe that heaven and hell do not exist? All right? In this world, you know, how would they even give us a picture of heaven? You know, in that commercial, you know, someone just eating cream cheese. Oh, I'm in heaven. So just because of the taste of a good eating, good flavor of ice cream, I'm in heaven. Limited knowledge. And so they also say that hell does not exist. They don't believe that God, who's a loving God, would create hell. But did Jesus talk about hell?
Yes
he did.
Yes.
It was intentionally intended for Satan and his cohorts. But Satan, in his deceiving ways, would like others to rebel against the Lord. And so that's why it's important for us to know the Word of God. Because in the times that we're living in, our faith will be challenged to the core. And you and I need to be deeply rooted, grounded in God's Word. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so the third one is, it's a soul-winning church. We're almost there. Okay. Now, the second one is the second coming church. What does that mean? These people long for the second appearing of our Lord Jesus. How many of you really believe that Jesus is coming back for the second time?
Amen.
We have all the signs. We have all the signs. The earthquakes, the frequency of the earthquakes everywhere, not just here in California, but all over the world. All of this, the Word of God points to us that there will be visible signs, whether in the sky or everywhere, and even the increase of lawlessness, the increase of evil. The Bible says in the last days, times will be difficult and perilous. That's why you and I need to be strong and strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need the strength that comes from God. We need the Lord. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the praise and worship team led us in our worship today, it might you and I might not be too familiar with the melody of the song, but the message, asking God renew them in our days. What is to be renewed? The Book of Acts. What happened in the early church at that time? They were filled with the Spirit of God. They prayed with boldness. They witnessed to others, and they even turned the whole city upside down. We want that to happen in our times.
Yes.
How many would want that?
Amen.
You have to sound more convincing than that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. When we know that there's so many more who are still lost and in darkness, a lot of people need Jesus. We should not just be contented that we are saved and just, there's so much work to be done as a church. Amen. And so, We read that, so they turned away from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. We need not be afraid of the second coming. If you are saved, if you have Christ, that's why we call it a blessed hope. We are not subject to the wrath of God. It's only for those who chose to reject Jesus. And then the final one, last two would be a steadfast church and a submissive church. I would just roll that into one. What is a steadfast church? Look at chapter 3. Let's look at chapter 3, verses 7 to 8. Chapter 3, verses 7 to 8. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. Let's look at that verse. Look at this. Paul and the rest of the believers, they were being persecuted. They were in distress, right? And being persecuted. What do they need? If someone is in distress and being persecuted, what do they need? Encouragement. Comfort. That's right, Brother Paul. Comfort and encouragement. And where did they get it? Of course, they would get it from God, but God used the believers in Thessalonica. Can you imagine that God is going to use your life to be an encouragement to someone who's going through difficult times? Difficult times. That's the beauty of having the Spirit of God. You and I become His vessels, that the love of God would flow through us, that the power of God would flow through us. This coming Wednesday in our Bible study, we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that God has given us as a church. We need to operate. We need to ask God that the spiritual gifts, the power of the Holy Spirit would work through your life and mine. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Know that. Some people would say, oh, no, my personality doesn't fit that. No, it's not about personality. It's about obedience. It's about obedience and the willingness to be available and to be God's vessel, ready for the Master's use. Amen, amen. And boy, and that would bring joy in your heart to see people want for the Lord. Amen, hallelujah. And so are you there with me? And so verse 7. Now 8. For now we really live, since you are what? Standing firm in the Lord. Or in another version, you are steadfast. So what does it mean to be steadfast in the Lord or standing firm in the Lord? Two things. Number one, not wavering. Not like this. In Tagalog, what is it? Not wavering. I don't know what. No, not. Yes, you change. Yeah, it's like you're being tossed to and fro, wavering. But if you're steadfast, you know that this is it. This is the truth. And nothing can change me from what I believe in the Word of God. Amen? Let me give you an example. If you and I are not wavering in our prayers, because at times doubts can come in when you and I are waiting for the results to our prayers and it's taking too long, that's the time that you and I become vulnerable to waver. Well, will I still attend Friday prayer meeting, or will I still pray, or will I still attend Bible studies or come to church at all? Nothing is happening. But if you and I are standing firm, rooted in the Word of God, no matter what's going on, you and I are so secure, we are believing, Lord, I know, because you promise in your word that God, you hear the prayer of the righteous. And that settles it. And that settles it. That's why it's so important for us to know the Word of God. Amen. So not wavering, but grounded and rooted in the Word of God. And then maintaining a steadfast love for Christ. Let me say that. Number two is important. Maintaining a steadfast love for Christ. If you would notice in Revelation 2, verse 4, this is one of the churches that Jesus addressed when he commended the believers in Ephesus. But there is something that he rebuked them for. When Jesus rebuked the church in Ephesus, he said in Revelation 2, verse 4, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. So, can that happen to any one of us? Yes. It can happen to us when we become spiritually dry. When it's like coming to church, it's like, boring. We don't have that oomph. We don't have that fire in our praying. We don't have that love for others anymore. It's like, who cares if they're, that's their life. I don't care. The Lord doesn't want that to happen in any one of us. He wants us always to be on fire for him. Never lacking in zeal, but always maintaining our spiritual temperature. So what is your spiritual temperature? What is your spiritual gauge? Is it hot or cold? Or are you in the middle? Because he says, even the lukewarm, God doesn't want that. It's either we're hot or we're cold. But you know what? We have the Holy Spirit to help us when those times come in our lives. Amen? Because God loves us so much. Amen. Praise God. And so, as we end, I would want us to read this portion and let this be our prayer. In verse 11 of chapter 3. Let's look at verse 12 all the way up to verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 all the way up to verse 13. And let this be our prayer for all of us. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Isn't that beautiful? That we're going to pray that the Lord would increase the love of God in our lives for others. We become interested in the spiritual condition of others. Example, let me just give you an example. When the love of God is increasing in your life and mine, and let's say we didn't see a brother or sister, example, last Sunday, and then we followed up, I wasn't able to attend because my car broke down. I don't have a car. And when you and I begin to know of each one's condition like that, when God's love is flowing through us, that's your problem, not mine. No. Can I pick you up next Sunday if your car is not yet available? Can I pick you up? God has so many ways wherein God would use us to encourage others. And when we know that that person needs that type of help, even in practical ways, praying for them and even calling them, amen, and letting them know that you're remembered in our prayers. If they're sick, you know, we have all of this technology right now, right? At times I would like to also send cards. I love receiving cards, but it's okay if I would receive text messages and they would say, oh, Pastor, we're praying for you. When I got sick, when I was getting all of those, it was like a breath of fresh air for me. Amen? So to remember each one and to know each one's struggles, that we're here for one another. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So let this be our prayer. Lord, increase the love of God in my life. I want, Lord God, that I be sensitive to the needs of my brothers and sisters. Look at verse 13. May He strengthen your hearts. How many of us need strengthening in our hearts? In Tagalog, you know, they would say, malakas ang loob, right? When our hearts are strengthened, we have the power of God. No matter all these problems that's coming our way, you and I are strong in the Lord, and we're not moved. Not moved at all. Why? Because we know that God is with us. At that moment, you and I might not know what to do. But deep down in our hearts, Lord, I know that because you are my eternal guide, you're going to show me what to do, because your word says that my steps are ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. And that because I'm your child, I'm led by your spirit. Hallelujah. May He strengthen your hearts so that you and I will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones. And the Bible is also very clear about submitting to one another. Submitting to one another. What is lacking in a lot of churches is accountability. We are each brother's keeper. We need to be accountable to one another. Amen. And so when there will be men's fellowship, women's fellowship, and at times Bible studies, we look out after each other. Oh, how are you? We didn't see you last Sunday. And so these are all the work of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives, because God wants His church to be like that model church in Thessalonica. Amen. Let's just thank the Lord for His word this afternoon. And before we take our communion, let's just thank Him for the gift of salvation and outlining in all of us from His word what it means to be a model church. Praise God. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. In your own words, as we begin to come into the presence of God, let's just thank Him for this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As we enter into the presence of God with thanksgiving, let's just thank Him for the Word of God. Father God, we thank You for this time You've given us. We thank You that, Lord, oh God, as Your Word says, that, Lord, Your mercies are new every morning. Lord, we are so thankful for Your mercies that are new this day, that You give us this opportunity, Lord God, to make things right with You. To remind us, oh God, that how much we need Your mercy and grace in our lives, oh God, because we are all lost without Christ. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that You have allowed us to hear, not just hear, but to study together, Lord, and to be reminded that, Lord, You have a plan for each one's life, not just individually, but for all of us corporately as a church. We thank You, Lord, O God, for the finished work of our Lord Jesus, that at that cross, that through the blood that He shed on that cross, that we may have the forgiveness of our sins. So if there's anyone right now, the church is about God's people. The church is about people who have made that decision to receive the finished work of our Lord Jesus at that cross. He died for your sins and mine. That when we receive and open up our hearts to the person of our Lord Jesus and accept His forgiveness through the blood that He shed, the Bible tells us that now we are given the gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, whosoever, what a beautiful word, that whosoever believes in Christ shall not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we thank You for this gift of salvation and the gift of eternal life that You're still, Lord, presenting to so many, God. Most of us have been given that opportunity and we have made that choice. But still today You're still working in the hearts of so many, God, and giving each one an opportunity to make that decision. And if you're that person and you would like to commit your life to Jesus today, just lift up your heart to God. And if you want you could lift up your hand, lift up your hand and say this prayer and mean it from your heart. Lord Jesus, I come to you. Just as I am, as a sinner, and I receive your finished work at the cross, and I thank you that you died on my behalf, that, Lord, that through your blood that you shed on that cross, I have the forgiveness of my sins, and I receive your love, your forgiveness, God. And today, I make that decision to accept you as my Savior and my Lord. In your holy name I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer, then you're born again. Now you're welcome to the family of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And before we take our communion, let's come to the Lord first and just thank him for his word. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for some of us who have known you for quite a while, we thank you, Lord, for this precious time you've given us that we can remember you, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord God, for what you have done at that cross on our behalf, Lord Jesus. And so, Father God, we allow your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts, God, that, Lord, we as a church be likened to the believers in Thessalonica, that, Lord, they are saved, they know that they are saved and forgiven, that their lives are surrendered to you, that, Lord, you're going to give us, Lord, that desire to win many more people for Christ, hallelujah, and that, Lord, we will be looking forward to your second coming, Lord Jesus. And Lord, oh God, for us to all remain steadfast and submitted to you and to one another. And we ask that, Lord, the love of God increase in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we call on the ushers, we're going to take our communion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As the elements are being passed on, let me just read this portion of the scriptures, because we want everything that we do is not just out of tradition, but really remembering the significance of what it means to partake communion. From the word of the Lord, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's pray. Let's thank the Lord. Lord Jesus, we remember you today. We remember your love and your willingness to die on that cross, the punishment that should have been mine. Say that to the Lord Jesus. The punishment that should have been mine, you took it upon yourself. at that cross. We thank you for your broken body. You felt the pain. And Lord, the ugliness of sin, we see that at the cross. And yet, Lord, on the other side of it is we see that the cross is a powerful reminder of how great your love is for us. That you willingly gave up your life, Lord Jesus. You died so that we may have life eternal. You died that we may know how to live in this earthly life. To know that, God, we are not alone, that you have given us your wonderful Holy Spirit to guide us, to give us that strength and enabling power, Lord, to obey you, Lord, your word, God. Help us all, we pray. Because, Lord, you have reminded us, oh God, that, Lord, we need to remain steadfast. Lord, we need that our love for you would remain steadfast, oh God. And when times of discouragement come, we thank you for the work of your Spirit who would just revive our hearts when we are fainting, God. When doubts creep in, discouragement sets in, God. We thank you that, Lord, you are here for us and committed to bring us and to finish the good work you've started in us, to finish it till the end, Lord. And we thank you, God, that, Lord, even as we partake this bread, we remember you, Lord Jesus, and your broken body, God. That, Lord, even as a body of believers, God, we ask that you bring wholeness in our lives, God. Let it start in families, in our families, oh God, and, Lord, more so in the family of God. And so, Lord Jesus, as we partake this bread, thank you for your body, that, Lord, that was afflicted, Lord God, pierced and broken, that we may have life in Jesus' name. As we partake the bread, let's thank the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, this cup represents and reminds us of your most precious blood, that we as a church, we are considered precious in your sight because it took your life, the very life of your son Jesus, that now we are redeemed, saved, washed by the blood of Jesus. And we are made whole, that Lord, like the people in Thessalonica, now we know that our life has meaning and purpose, that we may serve you all the days of our lives. And we thank you for your most precious blood, O God, for we know that, Lord, your blood has power to cleanse us from all of our sins, and the blood of Jesus has the power that we have overcome Satan, who is the enemy of our soul. We thank you as a church, Lord Jesus, for being so faithful to us. In your mighty name we pray, amen, as we drink the cup. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood that you shed for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so at this point, let's just give a clap offering to God. Our God is faithful. Amen. And so as a church, you know what? This is our way of recognizing the people that God has raised in this church. Amen. To be alongside of us in the ministry. And so as we call it by department, we're going to recognize, the workers of the Lord by each department. And so I'd like to call on the ushers. And, of course, our brother Art is our head usher. Let's give them a ushers, the ushers. Amen. You know your role, right? Praise the Lord. I'd like Brother Art to speak in behalf of the group together. Praise the Lord. Brother Art, what are you thankful to the Lord?
I thank God for the 11 years for giving us the desire to serve Him. And Brother Ernie, please come.
Oh, Brother Ernie, one of the ushers. Amen. Praise God. And praise the Lord.
And we pray that He will continually give us the desire to serve Him.
That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Because, there's joy in serving the Lord.
There's joy in serving God. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. And let's thank God for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Please be seated. And then we're going to pray for everyone. Let's call on the Sunday school department. Who are our Sunday school teachers? Let's. Our Sunday school teachers. Amen. Okay, you would notice something. Okay, all right. Right, we have Sister Lily. Sister Lillian left for the Philippines, but she's one of our Sunday school teachers. Amen. Sister Flory. You know, it takes patience to teach our children the Word of God. Because, you know, the span of attention for kids, there's like a small window. Amen. And so, but we thank the Lord. Sister Cherry is with, Sister Cherry is also one of our Sunday school teachers. And so we thank the Lord for all of you. As our Sister Sally, she's the head of our Sunday school department. Amen. And you would notice that, there she is. Sister Cherry, come forward. Some of those involved in the ministry, they're wearing many hats. What I mean is, you saw Sister Maribeth, she's in the ushers, and now she's also part of our Sunday school. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're so thankful for your willingness and availability and in a precious, precious work that God has entrusted to you as Sunday school teachers. And we're so thankful that with your patience and the time that you spend in sharing the Word of God to our children. Amen. And so in behalf of the church, thank you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please. And of course, can I call on those who are serving in the Tagalog Bible study? Praise the Lord. The Tagalog Bible study. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So you would know who's serving, yes. Praise God. Thank you. You know, we mentioned this and reminded everyone. Who else? Brother Robert. Brother Robert. Come on, Brother Robert. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Where's Brother Ray? Brother Toto. Brother Ray? Oh. Okay. All right. Yeah. Brother Ray is also part of this. This group comes really early in the morning, 9:30. Brother. And so we're so blessed that we have this faithful group also that comes and offering this as part of a resource that God has given us as a church. That there would be people that would come early in the morning. Number one, it started as a prayer group. And now it's also being used to be an encouragement to the rest of the brethren. So can I ask some of you, you might be interested to be a part of this. It might be a sacrifice that you would come earlier than your usual, but know that there's so much that this group is, they have the heart for each one of you and the heart even to involve others outside the confines of this building to be a part of this also. Amen. And so we're so thankful for your sacrifice and your time. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And can we call on the Ministry of Help? Yes, Ministry of Help. Our Ministry of Help are Sister Nancy, Sister Percy, Sister Louisa, Sister Didi also. Come on. You're doing so much for the work of God. Praise the Lord. And of course, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Every Sunday, we serve lunch. And as a church, it has been a tradition that how, you know, some of our guests, it's like, you know, wow, you serve lunch every Sunday, except when we are observing prayer and fasting. But we have this group that puts together all of this to serve you meals. Amen. And so this is such an important part of the ministry, an important part of the work of God, because when people, some of those, they like the environment that is created every time lunch is served and people come together and have that time to talk about the things of God and just to be an encouragement to one another. And so, in behalf of the church, thank you so much for the so many years. Sister Nancy, you've been doing this for a long time. Amen. And so for the rest of those who are helping you too. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. And lastly, we have the intercessory group. Intercessory group, those that come faithfully every Friday. It's okay. That come Fridays, Friday nights, whatever your schedule allows. Come on. There we go. My mom, all right. Come on. Praise the Lord. There she is, my mom. 85 years old. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It takes commitment, really, and we are so thankful for allowing God to work through you as a group, because we know that prayer is the backbone of this church and of any church. How you have committed your lives to God, number one. You're serving God every time you and I intercede and pray for others. Amen. Can I just encourage you that God hears our prayers? When God would impress someone that we have not seen for a while, and we're beginning to see how God is moving in the lives of these people, even praying for those who we might not know what they're going through, but the Spirit of God would just impress them in our hearts. Know that your labor is never in vain. Amen. Praise God. And so thank you so much. And on behalf of the church, thank you for your faithfulness and your commitment. God bless you. Praise the Lord. And so can we please rise up and let's just pray. We're going to thank God that we are part of God's family. Amen. And if you're not yet involved in the ministry, and we know that God would want each one of us to be a part of the work of God in everything that we do, whether in our giving, in our praying, that's labor of love, and it goes a long way. Know that you're making an impact in the lives of others. Amen. Let's just pray and thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us. We thank you that, Lord, in this year 2019, God, we remember you, your faithfulness. How, Lord Jesus, you are the shepherd of this church, the shepherd of our souls. That, Lord, oh God, even as a family of God, we remember that, Lord, oh God, everything starts with you. The church was born in the book of Acts because of what Christ has done. And when the Spirit of God came upon those early believers, Lord God, their lives were totally changed forever, transformed by the power of your Spirit. That once they were fearful Christians, but became so bold. And above all, oh God, they became instruments of your power, of your healing power. When they would share the message of the gospel of Christ, lives were forever changed, God. We thank you for reminding us that, Lord, your plan has never changed, God. For you are still at work. We thank you for everyone, Lord, in this local church, whether someone new attending, or someone who has been with us over all these years, God. Remember that, Lord, it is you working in all of us, God. None of us should take the credit, Lord God, because we are just jars of clay, just instruments filled with the power of God and the love of God, your instruments. Lord, we thank you for those already involved in the ministry. You know them. You know their labor of love. And we thank you that, Lord, great is their reward. That, Lord, you would continually, Lord God, work in their lives. That, God, all of us would serve you continually with gladness in our hearts, God. And help us to be like that model church that we learned today. Knowing the precious gift of being born again, the gift of salvation. That our lives be surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. That you will give us the love for others, most especially those who are lost, those who are hurting, oh God. Use us. Empower us with your Holy Spirit. And help us, oh God, to grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus. Help us to submit to one another with all humility, God, for you're teaching us all that, Lord, we need one another. We need to encourage one another, comfort one another, pray for one another, forgive one another. And Lord, help us, oh God, to witness, to be a powerful witness to others, God, in this dying world, Lord, we pray. And Father God, may everyone in this local church, God, be actively participating in the expansion of your kingdom, oh God. For we know that you're raising up an army of God, an army of God. Hallelujah. And Lord, so we're saying, here we are, Lord. Say that to the Lord. Lord, here I am. Use me, God. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with the love of God and the power of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So for those involved in the ministry, everyone have lunch. And see me at the office before you leave, okay? So the Lord bless you. And we are so thankful to the Lord for this time. Amen. God bless you all. And let's worship the Lord together. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.